Welcome to the One-Off Technology Podcast with opinions, news, and views. On this podcast, we talk about technology topics and how they affect you. I'm your host, Roy Richardson, and each week we will feature an entertaining guest to talk about different topics. Now let's begin the show.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get started then. Hey, thank you very much, everybody, for joining the One-Off Technology Podcast. And for those counting at home, this is episode 8. Yes, number 8. Can you believe it? We actually survived long enough to do an episode 8. Chuck, can you believe that?
I know. I'm surprised. I am very excited that we've made it this far.
I blame you, Chuck. It's all your fault. You're the one that, like, I told you I wanted to do it, and you said, well, let's do it then. So you called my bluff, and here we are. We're still doing it. It's episode 8. I'm excited because there's at least 2 more episodes to go. And so this episode's called, Do You Know Where I Am? Ask My Cell Phone. Mobile devices, mobile advertising, mobile search, the Apple versus Android versus everything else. And how did I ever live without this device? But then on the flip side, privacy lost, find my phone, and you find me. And that's the crux of it all, is that our phones have made us so easy to find these days.
Yeah, and I don't know if you could find anyone out in public that does not have a phone.
I know. I was in Atlanta a couple weeks ago, and there was a payphone. I haven't seen one of those in years.
Wow. I know. I think New York is repurposing their old telephone booths.
They were, they're turning them into the Wi-Fi hotspots. However, the company that was doing it as a freebie to the city of New York, turns out they were using it to track cell phone users.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah. So, you know, they would say, oh, this particular cell phone's gone into this particular drugstore the last 3 or 4 times. We should do targeted ads and send them a text message. Hey, here's a way to save money in that particular drugstore. So, you know, right there, it just kind of leads right into this episode. That's a good segue, talking about how we've lost our privacy. And, you know, every time you download an app, you know, at least in the Android world, it shows you all the permissions that the application's asking for as you get ready to install it. In the iTunes world, you have to look at the permissions before you install the app. It doesn't tell you after it installs it what permissions it does, or it certainly makes it difficult at best to find them. In an Android phone, if you go to Android settings and applications and go to each individual application, you can go and look at what permissions it has. And so, kind of shocking to me, like, for example, Facebook, the Facebook app on my phone has access to my calendar, my camera, my contacts, my location, my microphone, my phone, my text messaging, and my storage for some reason.
So that's the thing I like about iPhones and how they handle their apps, is the app may want all of those permissions, and when you launch it for the first time, it'll say, hey, if Facebook would like to access your microphone, would you like to allow this? Nope. It would like to access your camera. Would you like to let us do that? Nope. And you can just toggle through and turn each and every one of those permissions off when the app launches for the first time. You are correct. You don't see it when you install it, but when you launch it, then it has to ask for all those permissions. You have to authorize them one by one.
Now, if you're running Android and you're running Marshmallow, which is version 5 of version 6 of Android, and then version 7, which is Nougat, which I think is a silly name. But anyway, if you're running either of those, you do finally have the option to turn off permissions on apps and turn off certain ones. I do find, though, if you turn off enough permissions, the app will stop working, even though it lets you toggle those off. It's kind of like using ad block. You'll notice on some sites, if they find out you've got an ad block, they suddenly make the site stop working correctly for you and say, if you want to use our site, you have to turn off your ad blocker. Well, it's kind of the same thing with apps. If you turn off enough of those permissions, some apps will stop working because, well, basically they like spying on you.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had an instance of that on my iPhones where it's done that. I've had certain features of an app not work, but the app in general has always still worked, well, if I deny everything.
And you're correct. And it's not that the app stops working. It's that the app stops working effectively. How about that? that there's features. You're right. Features turn off because you turned off certain permissions.
Okay.
And so in the world of Facebook, it kind of cripples it. It gets a little flaky. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it. And then you have all these apps that have ads in them, and a lot of those ads do tracking cookies. So they're tracking your phone. They know that you have visited their site before based off a tracking cookie. And then you have really evil things like Verizon. Verizon has a super cookie where, you know, it's basically you have a hard-coded cookie on your phone that you don't really have any access to. And it actually makes it possible for Verizon to sell tracking information about where you are. Now, just a couple of months back, the FCC filed a settlement against Verizon, won a settlement against Verizon that required you to do opt-in for some tracking. However, if you want out completely, you have to go through an arduous process to totally opt out of Verizon's super cookie. Yeah. Verizon's evil that way.
Yeah, I don't know if AT&T does anything similar or not. I mean, not that I've ever noticed, because like when I get my phones through AT&T, there's no like AT&T pre-installed software or anything on there.
Yeah, well, it's evil, and I will post a link on the website so that you too can find it, so you can find out, make your best attempts to opt out. But basically, you have to find their privacy settings page to opt out. I still don't like that. It should have been opt-in to start with, but it's evil, and it's Verizon Wireless, and well, that's the way they are, you know. And you know, when you know people fuss about Google, and they say when you do searches on Google, how it's tracking everything, you know, based off cookies it writes on your machine and based off your search history, it kind of says, oh, you know, I noticed that Roy is into panda bears, and so I'm going to start sending him links to all these different panda bears. Or you go to Amazon, for example, and you do a search for something, and then suddenly you go over to Facebook, and suddenly there's an ad from Amazon for that same product you were just looking at. Oh, I wonder how they know that. Well, tracking cookies. And we've talked about this in the past about practicing safe browsing. Well, the same is true for your cell phone, that you have to be careful that your phone is giving away your location. And then the other part of that is that the government can use your cell phone to track you as well. And this is near to impossible to block. You almost can't stop this. If you notice on your phone, you know, for example, you can't turn location tracking off 100%. It's set up so that if you dial 911, location tracking will automatically turn on. And I actually think that's a very positive thing. There's certainly stories about lives that have been saved because of the fact that because somebody dialed 911, they were able to triangulate with the cell towers to get an approximate location of where the vehicle was and go rescue a person that's been involved in an accident that, you know. So, I mean, there are benefits to it. So, I mean, every good thing can be turned evil. And so you just have to be careful. And it's just a matter of how far can the government go before you can't trust them anymore and that type of thing. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just saying sometimes people can abuse power. And
I don't know, Roy. I think you are a little bit of a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would put you into that bucket.
Would you?
I would.
I don't worry about who's tracking me. I'm like pretty much given up myself and said, look, my digital soul's out there. It's over. There's not much I can do about it now.
Oh, but that doesn't keep you from forming conspiracies about what they're doing with it.
Oh, it's true. Yeah. I mean, I have theories, but, you know, it's true. Okay. I have conspiracy theories, but I don't act on them, and I don't let it modify my life significantly.
You just have tendencies and not actual panic attacks about it.
It's true. Yes, I have conspiracy theory tendencies.
Okay, all right.
Exactly. I confess. You heard it. I have confessed. It's true. I have conspiracy theory tendencies.
So I know on the iPhone, I can go into the default browser for the phone, and I can tell it, you know, don't allow tracking cookies and, you know, block third-party cookies. A lot of similar features to what's on a PC with a web browser there. I would assume Android is somewhat similar in that regard, right?
To a point, yes. And it's because Apple, about a year ago, decided that they were going to allow ad blocking, for example, in Safari, even though, you know, lots of people fussed about it. And those people weren't humans. They were all companies. And there are some ad blocking programs that you can download from the Android App Store to do ad blocking. I will tell you that the results you get, such as like Forbes.com, where it won't let you see their pages if you have an ad blocker, also happen on a mobile device when you're doing ad blocking. And then to really get the ad blocking capabilities, on some phones, Android phones, you have to root your phone for it to really work. And unfortunately, you know, rooting your phone is not really a great thing to do unless you're really tech savvy. So it's much better to leave your phone be and don't do that sort of thing. But I use AdBlock on Chrome, and I downloaded AdBlock for my Android phone, and I found it chewed up my battery. I mean, just chewed through battery, and also really just made my browsing experience horrible. So
that's unfortunate.
It is. I may give it another try once I get a faster phone, but my phone's got a little age to it now, so it's not the cream of the crop fastest phone anymore like it once was. So it's probably about time to swap out phones. But
it's always time to swap out phones.
Is it always time to swap phones? I may do something crazy. I may jump over to the dark side and get an Apple phone.
Wow.
I know. I don't know.
I would not have expected this.
Well, see, you know, Apple does have a lot of protections. I do like the fact that Apple does a very good job, even though it's a walled garden, so to speak, they do a good job of tending the garden and keeping a lot of the weeds out.
Yes.
So
yes.
I do like that about it. Android, on the other hand, has let slip some nefarious applications sneak in through a back door, and their quality control has not been as good. They vowed to fix that, but they have not done as well as Apple has in that regard.
So as we're thinking about, you know, the GPSs and whatnot never really being completely off on our phones, even if we tell it, you know, turn off location services, I think that's where we start seeing like prototype cases or ideas like what Edward Snowden is putting together, where it's a case that you can put your phone on and it will track the signals that the phone is still transmitting, like even in airplane mode, and alert you to the fact that, hey, your GPS is still on and tracking. So if you need to be, you know, off the grid, you need to either shut your phone completely off or leave it behind because it's still transmitting. I think that's something I wish the phones were a little more transparent on, is that, you know, sure, I can put my phone in airplane mode, but I don't really know what's still turned on and broadcasting. That, you know, I can turn off Bluetooth and, you know, make it so it's not discoverable to other devices, but I think it's still technically, you know, broadcasting that signal. It's just not in such a way that you can pair it to another device.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's, you know, I would even argue if you really want your phone to be quiet, you have to take the battery out. But, you know, these days you can't take your battery out of your phone. They make them such that the battery is not removable anymore.
Yeah, but I was going to say, iPhones have always been in that boat. So you can't just pull the plug and completely quiet it.
Yeah. Well, in the early days of Android, you had to be able to take your battery out because sometimes the Android phone would just go so dumb. A hard battery mode reset was the only way to make it happy again. Second runner up to doing a factory reset, which I didn't want to do. And, you know, that's the other thing. Apple has always done a good job of maintaining security patches. Like, for example, there was just a week or so ago, there was a case where Apple had to rushed out a patch for iOS and for macOS that addressed an issue where if somebody sent you a specially crafted text message, they could gain access to your phone.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
So they sent out an update for that. Now, in the Android world, because Google gave up so much control of the Android operating system to get a foot in the door with mobile carriers, unlike Apple, which basically said, this is the way we're going to do things. You don't like it, you don't have to do it. But then, You know, so AT&T said, okay, we'll do it. And, you know, for the longest time, AT&T was the only provider. And then Verizon and other carriers had to accept those same terms and conditions to even offer the iPhone, because all their users said, we want an iPhone. So, but in the Android world, the problem is that because the mobile carriers have so much control over the Android OS, you do not always get updates. So, you know, if you go and look at a graph that shows which versions of the Android operating system people are running, there's people still running like Gingerbread, which is back at version like 2.3. And so if there is a security hack that comes out that takes advantage of something in Gingerbread, you're on a phone with Gingerbread, you're stuck. You can't upgrade. So, you know, because of your mobile carrier said, you know what, we're not gonna test it. They have to authorize the updates. And so that just makes it crazy. I mean, for example, Motorola just came out with a brand new phone, an amazing new phone. But then when they were asked when they were going to do security updates, they said, well, we can only do it when the carrier allows it. And that's the truth. They, you know, the carriers prevent updates from going out to your phone without going through their vetting process. And so it's insane. And that's why with Nougat, Google's finally going to put its foot down and say, look, we're going to control the operating system, and Android phones that come with Nougat are going to be, we're going to do updates on. But for those that are on earlier versions, even Marshmallow, you will not necessarily get, you know, security updates. For example, my phone does have Marshmallow, but there was a newer version of Marshmallow that was out, had been out for some time, that my phone will not get to participate into until Verizon blesses my phone to let me have that update. Or it may decide they will never bless my phone and I'll never get that update. And so there have been patches and things that have been released that I will never get.
And so is part of that because they're trying to drive like device turnover and keep people coming back into the store buying new devices, that, you know, well, if we only allow these certain ones to update to the latest, you know, operating system, then, you know, those people will, you know, more or less keep their phone. But if we turn off updates to, you know, older devices, then now people will come back in to buy a newer device, renew that contract, that sort of thing.
Basically, it was...
Or is it really just, we want to be able to have our hooks in the software at the base level. You can't pull us out because it is essentially our operating system and not Android's.
Yeah, it's basically, it. At one time, Verizon said, we control your phones. And if you don't like it, then go to somebody else. And, you know, like, for example, for the longest time, Verizon locked it down where you couldn't turn MP3s into ringtones. Now, I know Apple's done that for a long time, too, to try to push you to go and download, buy ringtones from them. But Verizon flat out had the phones bricked where you couldn't turn an MP3 into a ringtone. It was only after a while they kind of opened up that. And then the other part of that is that they want to put their applets on your phone. You know, like, for example, you know, Verizon Visual Voicemail and things like that. T-Mobile and the others do some of that too. It used to be that Verizon had a Android app store where they were trying to push you to download apps from their store rather than go through Google Play. And these are all concessions that Google had to make in order to even get its foot in the door so that Android phones were available for people to get. Even though Android, in theory, is a free operating system that Google gives away. Now, Google does have restrictions on it, what you can do with it to a point, but they have essentially open sourced Android, so anybody and his brother can take the OS and do something else with it. But the mobile carriers and trying to stay with Google, I mean, like, for example, Verizon did release a phone that was Android based and they replaced Google Search and they put Bing, because they decided Bing, because Microsoft gave them a bunch of money, was going to be the official search engine of all Verizon phones. And thankfully that died. I'm like, yes, please put Microsoft on my Android phone. That would just be awesome, because yeah, Microsoft is so awesome that way.
Exactly.
But it's just crazy the lack of control we have over these mobile devices. We buy these devices, or we buy them and they're subsidized by our mobile carriers. Now, granted, that has become kind of the exception instead of the norm now. Now, pretty much, you're buying the device. But even after you buy it, it has some locks on it, so you can't do certain things on your phone.
But see, I would counter that and say most plans nowadays, you're still not buying the phone. You're leasing your phone.
That's true.
Where you're paying them, you know, an extra $20 a month on your monthly contract, and they're letting you kind of, quote, rent the phone. And then once you've fulfilled a certain number of months with that phone, you can turn it back in, no questions asked, and get into another lease of a new phone, similar to how cars work. But I don't know that you ever truly own your phone. I know when I went and renewed my phones last fall, basically AT&T said, you know, we don't do subsidies anymore. So if you want to actually buy the phone, you're buying at full retail price, or you can do our AT&T Next plan where you basically just lease it month to month. If you fulfill the term of the lease, I think you could keep the phone at that point. But, you know, their whole hook behind it was, like, if you get an 18-month AT&T Next plan, we'll let you trade out of it at, like, 12 months, and we'll forgive the remaining 8 months, and you can get into a new phone at 12 months.
Right. And the catch is that to buy the phones at full retail, anywhere from $250 to $1,000, depending on which phone, especially when you think, like, an Apple 6 Plus. I mean, mm-hmm. Wow. A 6S Plus is $900 to $1,000, especially if you do like 64 gig model or 128 gig model. I think it's $1,100 and change.
Yep.
So, you know, that's the whole, it's turned into such a scam, and leasing is their way to, so that the average person can even afford to get a new phone. And at the 12-month mark, when you do swap out that phone for the next one, well, your old one still has a resale value, especially in the Android space. I'm not Android space, but the Apple space. Apple phones maintain a high resale value. If you go on eBay and try to buy a 5S, you'll still see $200 to $400.
Yep.
You know, and yes, I will say that my experience that Apple phones do last longer than Android phones. I don't know why that is. I guess it's a build quality, or it could be people that buy Androids use them as hammers. I'm not sure which of those two it is. I have used mine as a hammer. It works very well. I mean,
your poor phone. I feel so bad for it.
Yeah, well, you know, you get one of those super expensive cases for it, so it'll actually make it to 2 years. Because, I mean, the whole scam before was, oh, well, you're on a two-year contract, and your phone, you know, your phone has to last 2 years, because if it dies early, well, I'm sorry, you'll have to buy the phone at full price. You know, so, like, one time I walked into the, you know, I went on vacation, and I took my phone, and my swim trunks had pockets on it, and I laid the room key down on the little table there, but I totally forgot my cell phone in my pocket, and I walked into the swim pool with my cell phone.
Whoops.
Now, luckily, when I went to the carrier, that particular phone had lost a lot of value, so I was able to buy one at full price for a lot less than it would have been the first day of year one. And then you'll see people like on Facebook and other places, hey, do you happen to have a Verizon phone? I've got to make it through the last 8 months of my contract before I can buy a new phone, you know, which are not really buying a new phone. They're going through a lease.
Yep.
But yep. And more and more, the carriers are pushing for pay-as-you-go type plans and shying away from contracts. You can still get a contract, but you kind of, depends on the situation, you have to beg for it. And so it's a nightmare. It is. And
so
go ahead.
I was going to say, I think the one thing that has always confused me is knowing that Android is an open source operating system, how does it fall into the trap of where you can't update your phone to the latest OS? What keeps you from just wiping off the Verizon version of the operating system and putting on the latest OS straight from Google that your phone supports? Is that essentially jailbreaking it in iPhone terms?
It's a lock on the firmware.
Yes. Okay.
Because in the process of installing a newer version of the operating system, you have to, as part of the install process, unlock the firmware. If you haven't rooted your phone, or the phone company hasn't unlocked your phone, then part of the installation of the official release from Verizon unlocks your firmware as part of the process of doing the install.
Mm.
So, yeah. Good times. Good times.
So, we've talked a lot about Apple and Android. What about the others that are out there in the market space?
Well, you know, it's funny that in the time since we came up with the playlist of the episodes, the BlackBerry has essentially come to the point where it's about to not exist. And newer BlackBerries now have Android operating system. There was a brief moment in time where BlackBerry added Android compatibility, and you could download Android apps onto your BlackBerry phone, but it was still the BlackBerry OS. But now BlackBerry's officially said, we're going to go Android. We're going to still give you the cool BlackBerry features of being able to have a, well, actually the latest one doesn't have a keypad at all, though I do miss the keypad. I was a CrackBerry fanatic at one time, I will confess, even though mobile browsing on a CrackBerry was not a pleasant experience, even though everybody hyped it there for a bit. As soon as the iPhone came out, the BlackBerry was like, man, this is like Stone Age. Samsung made an attempt to come out with their own OS, and that didn't quite work out. So, you know, pretty much it's either Android or it's an iPhone. And so, sure, the flagship phones in the Android space are Samsung and the Galaxy phones. LG makes a great phone, though they seem to have lost their way in the woods, so to speak, with their customer base. HTC makes a awesome phone. The HTC 10 is an amazing phone. However, they just don't have the market share anymore. So it's pretty much boiled down to, what phone do you have? It's either Samsung something or an iPhone. And if you're an iPhone, you're running iOS. And if you're running Samsung, you're running Android.
Windows phones, I think, are still a thing.
No, they're not.
Well, they technically do exist. They are. Yes,
they do exist, but they are less than 1% of the total market.
Yeah. I think it was in the news a little while back that Microsoft was shutting down the Nokia production or something. Yes,
the Lumia will die.
Yeah. That's been like the biggest front runner of the Windows phones. But I don't know if anybody else has picked up that operating system to use.
The Nokia operating system. Yeah, well, Windows operating system, are you talking about the one that Nokia used to have built in theirs? Because Nokia used to make the best phones. And you could definitely use a Nokia phone as a hammer.
Yes.
And it would work really well. So.
I was wondering if there's anybody else out there that's picking up the Windows OS for their phones. You know, it was Nokia, but now I think they're dying. I don't know if Microsoft makes their own phones, like an actual Microsoft brand phone.
There is a rumor that there's going to be a Microsoft Surface phone.
Oh, good.
There is a rumor.
More phablets.
Yes, more phablets. Because like, for example, Dell made a Windows phone, but then they had Android tablets. But then recently Dell announced they were getting out of the phone business, but they're not going to have Android tablets anymore. They're going to go Windows 10 tablets. So it's kind of interesting. And the issue with Windows 10 phones is that so many of the key software vendors out there did not release apps for Windows 10 because the market share was so small. And then, of course, Amazon came out with the Fire Phone, and that fell on its face. I hate that because it, you know, had potential, but it fell on its face, and it really fell on its face because Amazon so tweaked the OS that's on it that you couldn't download apps from Google, which meant you wiped out most of the apps that existed, and app vendors didn't want to write an app specifically for the Kindle environment, Kindle phone, the Fire Phone, because it was such a small market share. So, I mean, that's the thing. And then the other craziness on the Windows phone is that there wasn't a YouTube app.
Wow.
Yeah, Microsoft made one.
Oh, that's right. I remember that controversy.
Yeah, Microsoft made one. Supposedly it was actually pretty good. But then Google said, well, that violates our licensing and license term conditions, and so it had to die. So I felt a little bad about that. But then on the other hand, Google refused to create a YouTube app for the Windows Phone.
I know for a hot minute there was some contention between iPhones and or Apple and Google in that regard, that like when I got my phone originally, or like my first iPhone, it shipped with a YouTube app installed on it. Mm-hmm. And then when I got, I believe it was like a 5S, right, that app was gone because Google and Apple were not buddies at that point in time. And there was no app on the App Store that would let you have YouTube. Now, that got resolved pretty quick. I think Apple said, we're sorry, please let us have YouTube back. And now that YouTube app is there, and it works amazingly well.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think they resolved it. It was more so Apple iPhone users just kept fussing, where's my YouTube app? Where's my YouTube app? And finally, Google said, well, Apple's stopping us from publishing a YouTube app. And so, to your point, the phones no longer come with a YouTube app pre-installed. You have to go download it from the iTunes store. But that's easy enough.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you're right. Well, it's because Apple wants a share of the market for everything, and Google wasn't willing to pay.
No, they would like, you know, all their monies.
Because Apple gets 30% of the revenue from any app you use. That's why, for example, for the longest time, well, there still isn't an app on iPhones and iPads and such, iOS, that will let you buy things from the Amazon store. So you have to go through a web browser on your Apple device to buy anything from the app, from the Amazon store. You can download the Amazon shopping app, which will let you window shop, but you can't buy anything.
Huh. I've never tried.
Yeah, well, so it doesn't buy you a lot. In fact, you can't buy anything at all, but you know what I mean. It doesn't buy you a lot.
So yes, I get
it. It's pretty much, why bother? So all this to say, wow, about mobile devices. And the key thing is that, you know, we've talked in previous episodes about encryption on your cell phone as ways to protect your privacy. And it's getting harder and harder. Google backed off, and now they don't encrypt phones by default. You can go in there and choose to encrypt your phone. You can. Apple got kind of wishy-washy where there for a bit. They said they weren't going to encrypt phones by default. It went back so far back and forth. I'm not even sure where it's landed. I think they are encrypting the phones again.
Yes, I believe they are.
But you know, the controversy over encrypted phones, and then, of course, the $1 million hack that the FBI paid $1 million for in order to get access to the terrorist iPhone. Interesting. The details of the hack has still not come out. Hopefully, Apple has patched whatever it was. But it's
I think they had, or there wasn't necessarily need to, because the hack that was developed only applied to like that specific device, not like the physical phone, but like that revision of the iPhone. So it only worked on like iPhone 5s or 4s's or whatever that phone.
Yeah, I think the phone was a 4s, and there was features on the, there was not a feature on the 4s that was as tight as the security on the 5s. But so that particular hat worked on the 4. I think you're right. And, yeah, now I'm remembering I had forgotten so much. So I guess the takeaway here, how do you practice safe phone use? And to me, I think the only way to do it is if you have a new enough device, OS-wise, where you can turn off permissions such as location tracking and having access to your phone contacts. Because, for example, why does a photo app need to have access to your phone records and who you talked to last?
Yeah, I've always found that really suspicious when, you know, an app starts asking for like all the permissions, and it's like, all you are is a notes app, or, you know, you're just here to let me play games. You don't need to know my contact list, my, you know, access my camera, my microphone, and, you know, no, you don't need all that. I'm sorry.
I mean, like the Facebook app, for example, has a Facebook audio recognition app, which they swear is only if you do search to try to recognize songs. But if that's true, why is it always running in the background?
Right.
I'm like, I don't want this running in the background. And Facebook said, well, we're not listening in on y'all, promise. But, I mean, I've talked to people that said, you know, it's funny, but I talked about something last week, and then suddenly I started seeing ads for it on Facebook.
Yeah, that would creep me out.
And that would creep me out, too. Now, I haven't seen anything like that. I'm hoping it was just their imagination. But, you know, it's entirely plausible that the Facebook app is listening and finding out what you're saying, and then, oh, well, he was just talking about, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, we're going to show him ads for blah, blah, blah next time he happens to be on Facebook. Or his news feed is suddenly going to show all these things about that particular topic. And so it gets quite creepy. So, you know, it should be a way to turn off anything you don't want an application to have access to. I don't want an application to have access to my contacts. An application shouldn't have access to my call history. I don't think an application should have access to my location unless that pertains somehow to the app. Like, for example, the camera app needs location information if I want to allow it to do geotagging on pictures that I take. Did you know every time you take a picture, unless you've turned this feature off, it associates a location and the metadata with that image. And then when you take that image and you share it on Facebook or wherever, that image, unless you have turned that off, has that information about where you took that photo. Right. That's why when you post, a lot of times it'll already know the location of where you took the picture because it has access to your location information. And so if you go into Google Photos, for example, if you haven't turned off geolocation information, you can go and look at the information on each photo you've uploaded to Google Photos, and it will tell you where the picture was taken approximate. Now, Google by default does not share that information when you share it. It asks you if you want to share that information. Instagram does the same thing. It asks you first. But the point being is that unless you are conscious about that and make an effort to turn that off, then that is information you're releasing. So, for example, if you don't want anybody to know where your house is and you have a habit of posting pictures of your kids, which we should probably talk about that, perhaps you should not post pictures of your kids on social media. But that geolocation information could give away where your house is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's creepy how much, you know, data can be released and you're not really cognizant of it. You know, exactly what you're talking about with the camera, where it embeds the location. You know, that's why a lot of times I go through the rigmarole of, if I'm going to like post a photo on Facebook, I first have to go back in and authorize the Facebook app to have access to my camera. I'll post that one photo and then I turn it back off. That I don't just let permissions keep running in the background. I'll use it for that specific point in time and then I turn it back off because I'm very paranoid about those things.
And see, Chuck has an appreciation for conspiracy theories as well.
I do. Not only do I have 1,000 of my own, I appreciate everyone else's.
So that's the whole point, is how do you protect your privacy? And I think in this day and age, the closest you can come is to turn off unnecessary permissions for applications. I mean, really, why does Candy Crush need access to your phone contacts?
So they can invite everybody else. They can start spamming everyone in your address book with, hey, you should come play Candy Crush because Chuck's doing it and it's great.
Really? Is it awesome?
No.
Okay. All right. So this is why. So what game do you play that you invite all your friends to?
None on my phone. I am not. I'm not that mobile gamer. There's no Pokemon Go going on over here.
Yeah, Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go has been hacked several times, and hackers were using it to track the location of people. And supposedly that's fixed, but however, you need to be careful with Pokemon Go. Though it is a great game to get people to go outside finally.
Yeah, but I don't want to go outside.
Oh, okay.
It's scary out there. I'll stay here in my bunker, thank you.
All right, your underground bunker.
Yes.
Do you have food provisions?
You know, the Prime delivery, they will bring stuff to you, so I don't have to like go get it.
Okay. Yeah, but during a nuclear winter, that might not be an option.
Yeah, I know. So I have to think of my rationing and storage preparation. But no, for right now, the bunker is just delivered.
Okay. So, and there's so many reasons why somebody might want to snoop on your phone. The other part is that when you go to public places and you join the public Wi-Fi, well, then now your phone, all your traffic from your cell phone can be snooped on by people that may have hacked into the access point at the Starbucks or the public library, wherever you may be. So you really should shy away from using public Wi-Fi. And I recommend turning off Bluetooth every chance you get. They've already shown that Bluetooth can leak information, and so you need to be very careful.
Yes. So that brings me up a question. I know on iPhones there's a built-in VPN. It's not really an app because it's just built into the OS, but you can establish VPN connections on your phone. Does Android allow you to do the same?
Android does, but they don't make a big deal about it. They don't talk about it. It's there, but they don't seem to really advertise it. And so I'd even have to go figure out how to use it because they don't. They just don't hype it.
Mm. Yeah, it's on Apple. It's included as part of your Wi-Fi setup, but there's questions in there about, like, would you like to set up VPN connections? So yeah. It's pretty much to the forefront there.
Yeah, well, that's not true on Android. Android's it's kind of one of those things they added in but didn't maybe bake it all the way.
I gotcha.
And I think that's pretty much where we are, is that the other option is if you can do a VPN connection, that's one way to protect your data when you're on a public wireless network. And, you know, how can you protect yourself? And permissions, don't use public hotspots, turn off Bluetooth, turn off near field, because near field can be used not for hacking per se yet, but it can be used for tracking. Near field's got a little, not the range of Bluetooth, mind you, thankfully, but they can use near field for some tracking. So just got to be careful. And then if you take pictures, you got to be careful about geolocation information if you want to be careful about that. And don't use Facebook. Just don't use it.
But I like Facebook.
Sure, yeah. Who doesn't? But, you know, Facebook is evil.
It is, but it's one of my guilty pleasures. How about that?
Okay, yeah. Well, if we can turn it off during election season and turn it back on afterwards, maybe.
Oh, God. So I have seen some pretty hilarious photos posted about both Hillary and Trump on Facebook. So
yes, I have been offended by stuff people have posted about both candidates. So, and it's not even from my ideological standpoint. I'm like really? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, I'll be glad when this election season is over.
There are no boundaries when it comes to politics.
That is so true. It makes me wonder what politics was like before the day and age of mobile devices and the internet. And I've read some notes and such that Abraham Lincoln was quite harassed by newspapers and by his candidates and called every name in the book. And I'm just curious to know what politics used to be like in the early days of this nation. I would be very curious. It could be that all this backstabbing and such has always gone on. It's just much more accessible because of mobile devices and the news. And the
internet. Yeah, I would say it's always been there. I think people have not changed a whole lot over 100 or 200 years.
Yep. So
we've always been hateful and hurtful towards each other. We just can just do it a lot faster and easier now thanks to the internet.
All right. Now, positive things with cell phones. If, for example...
Wait.
What?
There are positive things?
Yeah, there are.
Oh, okay. All right, carry on.
Like, for example, in the iTunes world, there is Find My Phone.
Yes.
I do think that's a very positive feature. Granted, you know, it is doing location tracking, but it's very nice to be able to go to the Apple website and go tell it to go and ring your phone so you can find it in your house somewhere. Or to tell the person who stole your phone, please return my phone, and just keep ringing it till it dies and it makes them crazy, or just remotely send a wipe to your phone. You can do the same thing with Android. Android has Android Device Manager. Now you have to download it. It's not installed by default always. And so you have to go and download it. And then you have to go through Google and configure it. If you go to the Play Store and then go to Devices and you can eventually find your device, you can configure your device to be able to ring and also to send a message and also to wipe your device in the event it's stolen. So next time it pops up for error and gets a signal, then Google will send it a smite and say, you must wipe phone. And I do recommend using services like that because cell phones are just way too expensive to lose. And so those are neat features. If you do a Google search for Find My Phone Android, it will tell you everything you need to know about how to set that up. The iTunes world makes it a little easier. You don't have to go quite through those hoops. But probably if you type in Find My Phone Apple in Google search, it'll probably show you as well how to set that up on your Apple phone. I do recommend those things if you are tethered to your phone and you can't live without it. It does make you wonder what the world was like before cell phones. I hate to date myself, but there was a time if you called my home phone and you didn't reach me, you couldn't reach me.
Yes, I also existed in that same world. But, you know, it's funny looking back now. Cell phones have really only been ubiquitous for about not quite 20 years. You know, it was kind of the mid-90s, late-90s, really late-90s, when cell phones became cheap enough and popular enough that absolutely everyone had one, and that there was cell phone coverage everywhere. So, you know, I lived a good portion of my life prior to that point and was like, wow, it's hard to remember what life was like when I couldn't just pick up my phone and, you know, look something up on the internet or text somebody in another country or, you know, send emails. It really is an eye-opening reminder of what things were and how much, I would say, slower life was before cell phones. Because if you wanted to send an email, you had to wait till you got home, dialed into the internet, you know, and wrote it at your PC. There was no real communication on the go.
I know, and even in the early days of cell phones, I lived in the boonies, and so there wasn't a cell phone tower near me. So even then, you still couldn't reach me, even though I had a cell phone.
Right. Well, even today, there's still places that are like that, but they're much fewer and far between.
It's true. It's true. So anyway, but, you know, and hopefully when you have that car accident and you dial 911 and you need those geolocation services, hopefully you're not in that spot.
Yeah, exactly.
When it happens. So, yeah, because our cell phones have turned into a lifeline. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing the world that we live in these days and how ubiquitous cell phones have become to our culture and the death of the payphone. And
no, payphones needed to die. Those were filthy, disgusting things.
Plus their pricing went crazy. And then the other part is that there's so many homes nowadays that do not have home landline phones anymore. I know that political pundits every year, when it comes poll time, are fussing because, you know, because of do not call list and because of protections that have been weakening to prevent people, telemarketers, from calling your cell phone. They have difficulty getting poll numbers, and so they have to call people that have landlines that they've agreed to allow be called in order to allow their polling, unless you explicitly say, yeah, it's okay to call my cell phone. Now, granted, the Federal Communications Commission has weakened that stuff a lot, and so mainly because people no longer have home phones, and I unfortunately expect more and more telemarketers to call our phones because of it. But
yeah, I'm in that camp. I do not have a landline home phone. On my cell phone, though, I do get quite a few calls. Not so much from telemarketers. What I've been getting lately are like the legal cases, the class action lawsuits that you see advertised on TV. You know, like if somebody you know or love was taking Pradaxa and had, you know, a heart attack or something as a result, call this number now. I get those sorts of spam calls on my phone.
Wow.
I know. And my cell phone is on the do not call list.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the law has changed there slightly where, you know, those things that are kind of, quote, in the public interest are now acceptable and they can be made, or if I should start calling all these places back and saying, you know, do you realize that you called a phone that's on the do not call list? If you call me again, I will sue you.
Yeah.
But I've never gone quite that far with it, but it is tempting. I have a whole string of blocked numbers on my phone because of it.
I hate the people that you call and then they call you back.
You mean like one of those lines say, call us at this number, and it's basically just a recording to leave a message and they'll get back to you?
No, it's more like people calling me back. I hate when people call me back.
Oh, well, yeah, also, yes. Yeah, phones are not for calling. Don't do that. No, just send me a text message.
I don't
know
why people want to use that for that purpose. I like text messaging and running apps.
Yes.
What else do I need it for? Don't call me. In fact, if I don't know your number and you call me, I'm not going to answer it. But, you know, I'll give my number to somebody because I'm interested in something that they're offering. And then I will tell them, you know what, I've changed my mind, I'm not interested. And then 6 months later, they call you again. Hey, look, I told you 6 months ago I'm not interested. Could you please just lose my number?
Now, see, I've gone one step further with that. If somebody calls and it's a number I don't recognize and they don't leave a voicemail, I just automatically block the number.
There you go. That's a good way to go, you know. And no, I'm not going to tell you the serial number of my copier. And no, my computer doesn't have a virus. Thanks for offering to help me with it.
Exactly, right.
So, and no, I know the IRS is going to get me, but they're not going to call me to do it. They'll have a lawyer call me.
Exactly.
Send me a letter or something. Anyway.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, that's it. Abandon all hope to keep your privacy on your cell phone. It's over. That's the final takeaway. But I am going to post a link that talks about privacy and cell phones that goes into greater depths about things that you can do to protect your cell phone from criminals and when you're at public Wi-Fi and how to keep from getting tricked into giving away too much information. So I'll post those links on the website along with the podcast. And Chuck, it's awesome to have you back this episode. You were gone a couple episodes and the podcast almost just disintegrated.
Oh, don't let it do that. I know. Yeah. Life got in the way very briefly. But yes, I am back and I've returned.
So awesome there. Folks, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. This week's episode is episode number 8, again, for those counting at home. And you can reach out to me on Twitter at @AroyRichardson. And you can reach out to Chuck reach out to me and I'll tell Chuck you said something.
Yeah, because the whole, you know, getting onto the internet and letting other people contact me, it's kind of like my cell phone. You know, if I don't know you, I'm just going to block you. So, yeah, talk to Roy. That's easier that way.
And by the way, Chuck's number is 12.
yeah, exactly. The number is always 12.
It's 12. My number's 13.
Oh.
Anyway.
You're a little more unlucky than I am.
I actually... 13's been a lucky number for me, but that's just strange. Cats, black cats crossing my path, walking under ladders, breaking mirrors. Those things don't seem to affect me. But, you know, trying to walk a straight line. Yeah, Getting out of bed. I've had bad luck with those things. It's just not good. So, climbing up ladders. Anyway.
Yes.
So, it's all right. Guys, thanks so much for listening. I hope you have a great week wherever you are, whenever you're listening to this. Thank you so much for listening again to the One-Off Technology Podcast. You've been listening to the One-Off Technology Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Look for other episodes of our podcast coming to a podcast universe near you.